Join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is We're Out Here Now by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
But I started this a couple weeks ago entitled We're Out Here Now. Look, someone say, We're Out Here Now. Okay. I think I may have slipped up and said it, and so my media people said it the way I said it. We're out here now. And I looked at it, I said, please do not print it like that. Gotta let people know this education comes to hand every now and then. We're out here now. We are out here now. Depending on how country you are, you just may say this way. We're out here now. And this is based upon this backdrop of Jesus' disciples obeying him and going across the sea to the other side. And Jesus basically told them, I'll catch up with you later. Y'all go on. I'll catch up with you. Now, one of the first things I would have thought, and maybe somebody did think it, but it's not recorded in the scriptures, was to think, well, gee, how are you going to catch up with it? We going on the, there's no sea Ubers. How are you going to catch up with us? They didn't ask. They just went on. And then the Bible says that at a certain time, they said, Jesus isn't here yet. They expected him to be here, and by the time they expect him to be here, now goes from bad to worse. They're in the midst of a storm in the sea, and they are rowing. Obviously, this is a rowboat, not necessarily a small little rowboat that we would think. It's a big boat, but it has that they can row this boat, and it's out of control. And the water is coming in, and they are now in the midst of the sea. One of the translations says they're in the midst of the sea. Somebody say in the midst of it. When you're in the midst of it, another translation said they are right in the middle of the sea. In the middle of something. Have you ever been in the middle of something bad and the Lord told you to be there? Have you ever been in the middle of something that you know is God that sent you here and told you to do this? How could this turn bad? I remember, I've never read the book. I think it was written by a Jewish person. But the book was called Why Good Things Happen, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. For a lot of people, that's a real dilemma. It's a philosophical question. It's a theological dilemma as to why good things happen. Bad things happen to good people. First of all, it's not that deep. First of all, we live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. And because we live in a fallen world, there are things that happen just because this earth, the earth was under curse. You're not under the curse, but the earth is under curse. God said, I will cause you when you receive me to live above the curse that's on the earth. Bishop Bailey, my uncle used to say that this earth, this world has a downward pull. In the natural, it has a downward pull. If you do nothing, you're going to be pulled down. If you don't work, you ain't going to eat. Okay? If you don't try to do better, you're going to do worse. Why? Because this earth has a downward pull, a downward trajectory. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So despite the downward pull that's in the earth, when you receive Jesus, he said, I will raise you up to live with me in heavenly places, and you can be steadfast, unmovable, always what? Abounding. You can go up when everything else is going down. If there's anything that those of us who really have served God and been consistent to serve God in the midst of this pandemic, we've discovered that God can keep us up when everybody else is sinking. We discovered that God can keep you going when everybody else stops. We discovered that God can keep you thriving when everybody else is barely trying to survive. So when you're out here, like they were out here in the midst of the sea, a couple of things I said. Number one, you got to recognize that Jesus sent them out there. When you're out there, you need to have assurance that if you're out there in the midst of anything, in a job, in a marriage, in a city, with this family, that you have no control over right now, you have to know that Jesus sent you here. In other words, somebody say, I'm in the will of God. You can be in the will of God and nothing seems like it's going right now. But if you stay in the will of God, it's going to work out for your good. And what happens is that many times we start questioning whether we're in the will of God just because things don't look the way we want them to look. Mark 6:45, it says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. He constrained them. He insisted, get in the ship, go to the other side. He told them to come to Columbia, South Carolina. He told them to marry this person. Or it's something, y'all. I don't mean any harm. I'm going to go deep now. I'm about to go deep. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to go deep. Somebody going to get mad. I'm just saying that, y'all, but y'all know I ain't scared. It amazes me how you can have prophets and prophetesses. Some of them even hear God to tell you to come to the altar, bring your checkbook, and the Lord will tell them how much you're supposed to write the check for. I know I don't bring those people here, but y'all need to know they're out there. You just come with a blank check, and the Lord will tell me what you're supposed to write the check for. And some of these same prophets and prophetesses been married 2 and 3 times. They can hear God about my check. And you can't hear God about who you're supposed to marry? I told y'all I ain't scared. And then when it don't work out, they give a new twist on the scriptures. Here's the twist. The Bible says, that whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But I realize now God didn't join us together. So we can go our ways because this wasn't God. This was me or us. But the real deal is many times is once it goes bad, now we question whether it's God. We heard God before. Spend all this money because you heard God. Now, please, this ain't everybody's situation. I want you to understand that. Okay? But what I'm saying is just because something goes bad doesn't mean you miss God. And in some cases, it does mean you miss God. So which is it, Pastor? You got to know for yourself. Did I miss him or didn't? You got to know for yourself. Now, I'm very serious about that. But I don't want you to go around automatically thinking just because something's bad or is going through a rough time right now that you miss God. They were in the midst of the sea. They were out here now. And Jesus told them to go. And I often say this, is that, you know, this week, last Friday before last, I've been riding my motorcycle on Friday when I've been having breakfast with my campus pastors. Friday before last, I told you I don't like to get caught in that motorcycle when it's hot. And so I looked. It was 70 degrees. They said it won't hit 90 till about 4 o'clock. We start breakfast at 9:30. We're out of there. We sit and talk. We're out there around 11:30, 12 o'clock. That's a long breakfast. Don't worry. And y'all know the service. They want you to leave, but, you know, because you like, but we always make up for it. By the time we leave, they like, stay a little longer. But when we left, I drove my motorcycle. It was around 70 to 80 when I left in the morning. By the time I left, it was 95. I was on a motorcycle in 95 degree weather, riding down Broad River Road in bumper to bumper traffic. Stop and go. And that sun was just beating on me. I said, I'm out of here now. I took a long way. I went around some traffic. I went through driveways. I went through in a parking lot. I took about another half hour distance to go home just so I could keep moving rather than get stuck in the traffic. I just wanted to be moving. And I thought, I looked at the weather. Sometimes God tells you to go places and he does not give you a weather forecast. He doesn't tell you when it's going to rain, when it's going to storm. He doesn't tell you when you're going to have grief. He don't tell you when somebody's going to die. He doesn't tell you when you're going to get laid off. He doesn't tell you when there's going to be a pandemic. I heard somebody mad at all the prophets. All these prophets. I mean, mad at the prophets. I mean, they wasn't being funny. They was mad. All these prophets. How can you tell about the pandemic? You hear everything else? You should have talked about this. Okay. God doesn't always give us a weather forecast. And because if he did, first of all, many people wouldn't believe him. But God loves us trusting him. This life, y'all, is about the journey of faith. Oh, let me tell you something else that came out recently. I was talking to my pastor. Is that our relationship with Jesus is supposed to be about Jesus. Not about what we get from Jesus. Now, when I married Marcia, we didn't think about it. We didn't talk about it. We not a whole lot. But we believe we will have a family. We have children. Thank God. God bless us with 4 children. But I didn't give her ovaries tested. We didn't check what my sperm count was. I didn't have her uterus checked out. We just got married. We believe we will have children. But watch this. I married her for her. Now, if for any reason she did not have children and I said, you know, this marriage is over. And start calling her Vasti. Y'all got to know the scripture to even know what I'm talking about. Vasti was replaced with Esther because she wouldn't dance. If I said I want to replace her, then it's clear it wasn't marriage. It wasn't about her. It's about what I'm going to get from her. That's what a lot of y'all do with Jesus. Soon as you don't get what you want from him, I'm through with him. Or don't show up when I thought I was going to show up. Well, I'm not coming to church anymore. The word don't work. And Mark 4 says that Satan is after the word. And so watch this. I'm sure somebody questioned, are you sure Jesus told us to come out here? What would that be questioning? The word. Oh, are you sure he said he was going to meet us out here? Because he has not shown up. And so sometimes we found that God will sometimes call you and send you into scary places to do scary things. That's why David talked about the valley of the shadow of death. That's why Jesus was tempted, was led in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's why Moses thought he was inadequate, and God tells him, you by yourself, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. That's why God tells Gideon, while he's hiding a little bit of wheat that he had, he said, get up. Hey, you are going to be able to save Israel from the Midianites as one man. All these are scary situations, and God was sending them when it looked like the odds were against him. Secondly, he said, you gotta recognize that he told them that he would meet them on the other side. He told them he would meet them. Matthew 14, 22 through 24, Jesus constrained his disciples to go into the ship to go before him, to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. The NIV says Jesus made the disciple get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. In the meantime, he didn't say what's going to happen before I manifest to the other side. And a lot of us, we don't like, we want manifestation of what we want to manifest. Sometimes stuff manifests that we don't want. And you got to still do like David says in Psalms 27, I still believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All I see is weeds and tares right now, but I know I've sowed some wheat. So despite the tares, despite the weeds, I know I sowed wheat. Wheat is going to come up because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If I sowed seeds, it's going to come up. Long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. You know, it's one thing for Jesus to tell you to come with him. It's another thing for Jesus to send you ahead of him. Now, you go on. Now, it's one thing to go with you, but no, go on. And I'm going to meet you over there. So we can get concerned, y'all, when Jesus don't show up before it gets dark. It was still light when he told them this. It was going towards evening. John 6:17 says, and he entered into a ship and went over to the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. Has it ever been darker than you thought it would get? Now, come on, y'all. Why y'all going to lie to me? Talk to me here. Has things ever got darker than you thought it was going to get? Okay, we believe things are going to get better, but sometime in the natural, it looks like it goes from bad to worse and from worse to worse before it gets better. Somebody said, what's worse? Keep on living. And when you're out there because Jesus told you to go, you've been hearing it, you got to wait on the Lord. I got to remember, Jesus sent me out here and he told me he's going to meet me. He told me he was going to meet me. You got to remember what Jesus told you and wait on the Lord. Psalms 27:13, it says, I had fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord, where? In the land of the living. So don't give up and say, well, I guess, I guess it's going to be on the other side. No, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord, where? In the land of the living. Yes, by and by, when the morning come and all the saints be gathered home. I was watching early this morning, y'all know Jimmy Swagger's music come on early in the morning, and Lord, they sang, sing it again one more time. Lord, they went about 10 times. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, and let me stand. Y'all know about that. By faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Plant my feet on high, your ground. I told Marcy, you know, I said, you got to understand. I said, you don't know. I said, when we hit that one in the Baptist church, oh, we was in there. This was Pentecost. Yes, sir. Plant my feet on higher ground. And we people think about that. We think about planting our feet on higher ground in heaven. But David said, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. Somebody say it's going to happen. Who? In my lifetime. Hey! It's going to happen in my lifetime. I'm going to live to see it. Somebody shout, I'm going to live to see it. Oh, I'm trying to get somebody's faith up. I'm trying to get somebody's faith up here. I'm sorry. I know you got enough insurance that when you die, your family going to be debt free. I ain't talking about when you die. So I'm going to live to see my debt freedom. I know I know by and by when the morning come and all the saints be gathered home, we're going to tell a story how we overcome. But oh no, I'm going to live to see it. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, in the earth, in the earth. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord and the Lamb of the living. So then he says, because I believe to see it, because I believe to see it, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Become intimate with the Lord. Pastor Mark explained last night, get braided in with the Lord. Get wrapped up, tied up, and tangled with the Lord. Spend time in his presence. Tarry in his presence. Become one with him. Get it settled in your soul. I'm going to wait on the Lord, because God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to perform it. If he spoke it, he's going to make it good. Yes, he will. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen thine heart. He'll strengthen. He'll give you some intestinal fortitude. Pastor Marcy used a Yiddish word last night. He gave you some chutzpah, some boldness, some confidence to hang in there. I ain't going nowhere. No, no, you ain't running me off, devil. I'm going to resist you, and you're going to flee from me. I told you, one of my all-time favorite movies, Sean Connery is playing whatever his character is. He's an Irish policeman who they're hunting down Al Capone in like 1930s Chicago. And he's older than the guy he's chasing. And he's running, and he's running, and he's running. And finally he shoots the gun, and he says, all right, enough of this running, blank. You got to get up and say, enough of this running. Come on now, I've been running from the devil long enough. I've been running from these bills long enough. I've been running from this emotional distress long enough. I'm going to resist it. No, enough of this running. I got on the whole armor of God. I'm going to stand. And having done all the stand, I'm still going to stand. Are you hearing me? Somebody say, stop running. Stop running. I'm telling you, stop running. Start chasing. I don't know why Bishop Bailey all in my head this morning. Bishop Bailey used to say all the time. He said, somebody said, I got to go somewhere. He said, you want me to run you down there? He said, sure. He said, give me a stick. Somebody need to get a stick and say, devil, I'm going to run you now. Come on. Come on. Put that sword in your hand. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running from depression. I'm tired of running from these issues. I'm tired of running from this financial dilemma. I'm going to chase the devil. And we used to sing a song. The old Pentecostal church says, I got the devil running and I'm so glad that the world can't do me no harm. You got to get the devil running. I said, you got to make the devil run. You got to make the devil flee from you. And the Bible says he come in one way, but he's supposed to try to flee seven ways. How can I get away from here? Got to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait, and he'll strengthen your heart. Psalms 20 and 22 says, say not thou, I'll recompense evil. It's for somebody here now. Proverbs 20:22. I know you're in the midst of this, but say not, I'm going to recompense evil. If the last thing I do, I'm going to get him. You ever have somebody really try to scare you and threaten you? He said, you need to sleep with one eye open. I hope you got some bodyguards. Because if I ever catch you alone, y'all ain't that hood. That's that Newark kind of, that's that Newark, New Jersey kind of threat there, y'all. Oh, you better not ever let me catch you alone. You better always have some. You better have eyes in the back of your head. Somebody, they're threatening you. And so he says, say not that I'm going to recompense evil. I'm going to get you. The last thing I do. He said, but what? Wait on the Lord and he will save you. God says, stop trying to, because you don't understand what's going on, why this happened. Stop trying to take everything in your own hands. Wait on the Lord. Stop trying to recompense evil. Wait on the Lord and watch him save you. See, the good thing about God saving you and God delivering you and God recompensing you is that after he do it, you can still have your freedom and not go to jail. Somebody look, somebody say, let God do this thing. Let God. See, if you do it, you're going to jail. Now, I'm just telling you, how many of y'all like to come to church and like to see me as your pastor and all that? Come raise your hand. Well, if you go to jail, you ain't going to see me. Now, you will see Elder Pusa. Elder Pusa got up here 2 Saturdays ago and said, I love the prison ministry. I just love it. It just, when I go inside those doors, and it just do something for me. I said, oh, I start having trauma. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. When I go in there, I said, Lord, well, please, I promise. Lord, don't let them keep me. I don't, you know, some people have prison ministry. That's not my, I'm a pastor. This is my platform right here. I'm bound to this pulpit. Wait on the Lord. He'll recompense you. He'll save you. Isaiah 88 and 17 says, I will wait upon the Lord. Watch this. That hideth his face from the house of Jacob. I will look for him. Oh, this is so good. Because sometimes you feel like God's hiding from you. When he says, I'm going to wait on the Lord that hides his face, he said, I don't see him right now, but I know he's going to show up. I'm going to wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the, and I'm going to look for him. That means I'm going to keep my expectation high. No matter what the situation is, I'm out here now. I'm in the midst of this storm, but I know I'm in the will of God. I know I'm where he told me to be. I know I'm doing what he told me to do. I'm going to wait for God, even though it looks like he's hiding from me. And while you're waiting, you got to rest assured that God has a plan for your life.
When you're out there, you have to know Jesus sent you out there. God will sometimes call you and send you to do crazy and scary things, but you have to know he's got you. In this powerful series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how we must carry ourselves when we're out there doing what God has called us to do. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.